Hey, thanks for letting me have a chance to share with you guys again. It's always cool for me. It speaks to my heart to be able to be here with you guys at Creekside Church. Today we're going to talk about a story about found in Acts, okay? About it's the very last part of Acts, and it's Paul taking the gospel into the heart of the world at that time, Rome. It has a connection with what we talked about last week a little bit. Okay, more than a little bit. It's got a connection. Okay, last week we learned that the church is connected to God's eternal purpose, which is basically to declare his multifaceted, multicolored glory to all creation. Okay? All right, we found that in Ephesians chapter 3, that God is using the church to help fulfill his eternal purpose. And today we're going to see basically the exact same thing, that God is using the church to take the news of his salvation to all peoples. Okay, the beginning of Acts is the history of the church doing this, the history of the church taking the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8, you know, Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you receive power, and you'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, to every nook and cranny of the globe, to every people, to every people group. The message of salvation in Jesus Christ will be proclaimed. And I'm going to use the church. That's what he said. I'm going to use the church at this time to fulfill this part of my eternal purpose, to broadcast the news of salvation in Christ to all people groups. And Acts is the history of how that evolved, all right? And at the very end is a cool story that I think relates to us today, okay? We're going to learn some principles from this story that have significant application for us here at Creekside. Before we start, though, I want to try to take the context and bring it from Paul's context and bring it into today's context, okay? And talk a little bit about the where we've come so far in the advancement of the gospel. Let's see if I can make this thing work. I got to turn it on. All right. How many people are there in the world today? Who knows? 7 million. What did he say? I didn't hear. A jillion. Almost a jillion. Almost. Okay. 7.5 billion people in the world. Okay. How many believers? 7.5. How many believers are there? Half a jillion? Okay, half a jillion. Not quite half a jillion, okay? 650 million believers in Jesus out of 7.5 billion people, okay? Now, these numbers are not exact, but they're they give us a frame of reference, okay? So 650 million believers in Jesus today, that makes 6.85 non-believers. Now, I want to talk about the red for just a second. I want to talk about the non-believers. Am I doing this right? Oops, let me back it up one. Of the 6.85 billion, okay, 1.75 billion are nominal Christians. They would identify as Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you believe in Jesus? I believe you can get to heaven however you want to, but I'm a Christian. Okay, that's who I identify with. Identify with the bigger picture. They don't necessarily believe in Jesus. So, you know, a large group of Americans are nominal Christians. They don't necessarily believe in Jesus, but they say, yeah, I'm a Christian. America's a Christian country, okay? After that, we have reached people groups. Now, we talk about something. A people group is an ethno-linguistic grouping of people. People that would share a common ethnicity and a common language, a heart language, okay? There may be people around us in our community that speak English, but when they go home, they speak Spanish at home, all right? And so they would be from a different ethno-linguistic group than we are. Now they're melding in, integrating, but at home they speak a different language. Okay, so ethno-linguistic people groups. In those groups that are not, they're not Christian, but they're reached, there's 2 billion. Now what this means is that you would go somewhere in the Muslim world, okay, somewhere in the non-Christian world, but there would be a significant presence of Christians inside of that people group, okay? There would be a church, and there would be, it would be more than 5% of the people would be, more than 2% would be believers. There would be a church in the neighborhood of 10% of the people, something like that. Does that make sense? There's a movement. There's a, people know there's Christians in this country, okay? And they have certain influence in this country. They would be reached. The gospel has got in and has a foothold in their side of their ethno-linguistic people group. Now the next are unreached people groups. Okay, there's 1.4 billion in unreached people groups. All right. Now an unreached people group would be where there's less than 2% believers. All right, and the church that less than 5% are Christian. Okay. It's nominal Christian. There's Christianity just doesn't quite have a grip there yet. The church is there, and there's believers there, and they could probably take the gospel to their own country, okay? But it still is not significantly reached. I don't know where Mali fits into this. Maybe the southern part. Right. The southern part may be on the border between reached and unreached. And Chad, I know the southern part is Christian. Okay, the northern part is not. All right. But Mali would be an unreached people group. All right. Albania is an unreached people group because they only have like 0.5% are believers. But the gospel's there. Okay, the church is established, but still, overall, it's like 15,000 believers out of 3 million people. And then the final group is a frontier people group. Now, a frontier people group, look at this. There's 1.75 billion in a frontier people group. This group is less than 0.1% of the people are believers. And the church, there's Christianity just basically doesn't exist except for that little 0.1%. And in this group, all right, these people have no way of hearing the gospel unless somebody from outside their people group comes in and shares the gospel with them, okay? And as we back up, there might be some people in this reach people group. There's people in Albania, Albanians that can share the gospel with other Albanians. Okay, over here in the reach people group, I mean, the culture kind of knows about Jesus, okay? But the frontier people group, less than 0.1%, one person for every 1,000, okay, would be a believer, all right? And there's no church presence. In order to get the gospel, somebody must go. Somebody's got to cross a cultural boundary to go. All right? This is what it... Turkey is an unreached people group. Turks are, okay? 75, 80 million people. About maybe 8,000. Maybe 8,000 believers. Okay, but you get in parts of Turkey, they have no idea about Jesus. They have no idea. Let me ask you all a question. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but who here, y'all are familiar with Islam, right? You've heard about Islam? Okay, so how does a Muslim become saved? Can you tell me? All right, so you go to some people... You go to people and you say, you know, have you heard about Jesus? And they go, yeah. Okay, well, how does a person become saved? Well, how do you get related to God through Jesus? Like, I have no idea. All right. And that's the way these people are. They just are not going to hear it on the radio. They're not going to intuitively know it. They're not going to be taught by their parents. They're not going to have been in Sunday school before. They have zero idea of how to become related to God through Jesus Christ. Zero. Kind of like you guys know, I don't really know. I've heard of Muhammad before, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. All right? And you guys are more educated about Islam than these people are about Christianity. Now, we had guys that came out of Albania in 1990, 28 years ago. Educated people, lived up in the north of Albania, against the Sula. I did not know, he said, that there was a historical figure named Jesus. I had never heard of a person named Jesus. This is just 28 years ago in Eastern Europe. All right? The Bible, there's a book called the Bible. I did not know there was a book called the Bible. So how was he supposed to know about Jesus, all right, without somebody going in and talking to him about it? Were there people in his country that knew there was a book named the Bible? Yes, there were. They had it buried in their backyard. They didn't dare take it out, right? Did they know about Jesus? Were there people in the capital city that knew about Jesus? Yeah, there were, but they kept their mouths shut because if they talked about Jesus, they went to an internment camp. All right? So you had a large number of people in that country that had no idea about Jesus. And I'm sure Mali's the same way. People in the north, you know, the caravans going across. Nobody's, we just don't know. I don't know. Maybe you and Phil need to share with us one day what it was like, you know, what it really looks like to be up there. So this is the context today, okay? We've got close to 7 billion people that are not believers. All right, we've got people that are in different levels of knowledge about Jesus, but we've got almost 2 billion people that just have no idea and no hope apart from somebody going to them with the gospel. Okay? And this is the world that we live in. Now, Paul's world, the numbers were different, but it wasn't so different in significance. And his goal was to take the gospel where it had not been preached. If Paul was in here, Paul would say, I'm sure, I don't want to speak for Paul, okay? He would say, Alan, if you want to go over here to reach people groups, that's fine. But I'm going to the frontier people group. I want to go where the gospel has never been proclaimed, okay? And Paul would say, I want some of y'all to go with me, all right? He would say that. So we're going to look at, now you can take over, Colleen. I got one other thing. Wait, sorry. One more slide. 30 and 1. This is amazing. For every one missionary that goes to this side over here, there's 30 that go to this side over here. You take 31 people. If this group right here, and everybody was going to go on mission. All right, one person would go to half of the world, the people that don't know Jesus. The other, 30 would go to people that know Jesus, the groups that know Jesus. So the Christian world is, that's what's going on today. Now there's reasons why, okay, we're not going to talk about that. But that's the reality. And Paul says, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one. That's the group I'm in right there. And, he would say, let's try to reverse that. I'm sure that's what he would say. Let's send 30 people to the unreached and the frontier people groups. And one, they need some help. Okay, let's send one of us over there too. Okay? So that's the context that we're in, and Paul. The numbers were different, but it was about the same for Paul. Okay, now, Acts chapter, I want us to see three things. I'm going to hurry. Three things. The partnership of the gospel, the path of the gospel, and the proclamation of gospel mission. And I'm going to read, and then we'll... I'm just going to set this down, okay, Colleen? So, here. Thanks. All right. Acts 28, we're going to start at verse 11. And after 3 months, we set sail from Malta. And after several days, we came to Puteoli, a city on the coast near Naples that kind of still exists over there. If you ever go to Egypt, to go to Italy, you can go down to Puteoli. And there we found brethren and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. So we made our way on to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. This is around 35 miles southwest of Rome. And on seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. I want to talk about the path of the gospel mission, the path of Paul, not the path. I want to talk about the partnership first, okay? In Acts, mission is always portrayed as a partnership. Always portrayed as a partnership. And who was the primary partner in New Testament mission? What do you think? Aiden, you know? Oh, bravo. Who said that? Sherry? Bravo, Sherry. Aiden, the Holy Spirit. God working through the Holy Spirit was the primary partner. It just, the Holy Spirit gave them power. The Holy Spirit mobilized them. The Holy Spirit put ideas in their head. The Holy Spirit was involved in sending. The Holy Spirit was the primary partner. We are in a partnership with God. This is God's mission. He goes with us. All right. Paul also, this is written in the third person, right? Not the third person, the plural, first person plural. We go, we go, we go. Paul was always on a mission team, always. But look here, what happened? This is amazing to me, okay? He goes to Puteoli and he finds there's some believers. So he stays in their home for 7 days. And then they say, well, it's, you know, we've been here. It's been cool. Thanks for the coffee. Thanks for the hospitality. We're going to Rome. All right. So they begin walking to Rome. Now, somehow, before internet, before cell phones, okay, before whatever, okay, the people in Rome heard about it, and they sent people down to meet Paul on the way. To me, that's just amazing. How did that happen? And how did the people in Rome get mobilized quick enough? We're going to send, you know, a delegation to meet Paul to help escort him into the city. And look at Paul. What happened? He said he was encouraged. All right. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. He was encouraged. Maybe the Holy Spirit somehow appeared in a dream. It doesn't say. But they heard that he was on the way, and they went to meet him. Okay? You know, sometimes you feel like you're abandoned, right? Nobody cares for you anymore. You know, Paul's journey had been 2.5 years. 2.5 years since he had left Jerusalem to come to Rome. All right? He spent 2 years in Caesarea, all right? You would think, you know, people in Rome, we got our own lives, kids are being born, we've got businesses to run, you know, we're moving on. And they've kind of like, Paul, yeah, Paul, I hadn't heard about him in a long time. All right. So he sees them, he's encouraged. You know, I think the danger for us is that we lose sight of what's going on. We lose sight of the mission. We lose sight of what God is doing around us. You know, Jesus told us, he tried to teach his disciples. Remember, he says, you know, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. I need you to lift up your eyes a little bit and look. And these believers in Rome had their eyes up. You know, they didn't take them like, who's Paul? I forgot about Paul. All right. They were paying attention. They heard somehow Paul's coming. Bam, they were off. They had a delegation. They were going. All right. So mission is always a partnership. And Creekside Bible Church is involved in the partnership. You are involved. Somehow, some way, God is using you. All right. So the encouragement is to make sure your eyes are up. Make sure we know a little bit about the $1.75 billion. What's going on in Georgia, the Republic of Georgia? GEA, y'all support GEA. What's going on over there? All right? You guys pray. I love the way you pray. I love it. Every Sunday you pray for some mission. That's significant. It's not just something we do to get it out of the way. It's significant. It shows that, Lord, we don't know, but we're looking. Okay, we're praying. We'd show us what you want us to do. All right, but it's important that you keep your eyes lifted up. You know, we're going to run out of time. I'm just getting started. All right. You know, businesses that are successful, even the least significant employee is connected to the mission of the business. All right. Those are successful businesses, all right? Think about a janitor at a school, all right? Some of you, instead of using a football analogy, we'll use a teacher analogy, okay? A janitor in the school building, he can say, you know, the job is terrible. All I do is clean bathrooms. All I do is pick up. You know, this is terrible. Or he can say, you know what? I play a role in the education of the children of Montgomery County. And Montgomery County, and maybe he goes to a school that's got people of illegals, or what's the other word? But people that have immigrated into the country without permission, okay? Maybe, and so he could say, you know, we're going to help them. I'm cleaning this school so they can have a good place to learn, so that they can flourish, so that they can be integrated. He ties his job of picking up with the bigger mission. All right, it's important. What would happen to a school that wasn't cleaned? It would just be terrible. Kids having to worry about things being dirty and getting sick. All right, what he does is important. So for us, even though you're a small church, connected to what God's doing is extremely important, all right? The mission of God to take the gospel, you are a partner, and what you do is important, okay? All right, the next is the path of the gospel. Let me read this, the next part. After 3 days in Rome, Paul called together the local leaders of the Jews. And he said to them, brothers, I have asked to see you and speak to you since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing these chains. And they said to him, we have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here have reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are for with regard to this sect, the way, Christianity. For we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Now he's talking to the Jewish leaders in Rome. Okay, we've heard about you, Paul. You know, we hadn't heard any much, but we're interested to hear what you say. So when they had appointed a time, they came to him in his lodging in greater numbers. From the morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. Can you get the picture about what's going on? Okay. They had a room. They had a discussion. The Jews were there. He talked about Jesus. He talked about the kingdom of God. Some of them said, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Some like, no, I don't. I don't believe. All right. And disagreeing. Then they began the debate, the right against the left, this debate. And then they parted. And Paul made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, Indeed, you will hear, but you will not understand. You will indeed hear, but not perceive. For the people's heart has grown dull, and their ears they can barely hear. With their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eye, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Paul says, therefore, let it be made known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. So Paul lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now, let's go one slide. This journey of Paul's to Rome started at least 2.5 years before this story in Acts 28. All right? He started in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he created a riot. He was blamed for something that he had nothing to do with. And the city blamed Paul and began to riot. They were going to kill him. They were going to beat him. So the police go out, the Roman police go out. They see this riot. They see Paul over there. People are screaming at him. They assume he's at fault. So they get him. They put him in chains and they set him up. They're going to beat him. Paul's done nothing. All right? He's going to get beaten until he confesses what he's done. All right? And then somehow there's an intervention. And they say, okay, we're not going to beat you, but we're going to listen to you tomorrow. So they listen to Paul a little bit, and they decide that, you know, we don't really know what to do with him, so we're going to send him up to the higher court, which is in Caesarea over here. But between the time he's going from Jerusalem to Caesarea, the Jews make a pact, 40 of them. We're going to not eat, we're not going to sleep, we're not going to do anything till we kill Paul. Okay, a conspiracy against Paul. Somehow the authorities hear about it. They protect him. Paul goes to Caesarea. He stays in Caesarea for 2 years in prison. 2 years. All right? Waiting for the authorities, waiting for him to pay a bribe to get out of jail, basically. All right? He doesn't. For 2 years. Finally, after 2 years, they say, you know what? You appealed to Rome, we're going to send you to Rome. So he begins to sail to Rome. When he's in Rome, he ends up at in a storm and is shipwrecked at Malta. So Paul says, I started 2.5 years ago. All right? I was almost beaten to death. There was a conspiracy on my life. I was in prison for 2 years unjustly. Waiting, you know, for this guy to pay a bribe. And finally, I'm on my way. Hallelujah. I get to Malta. I'm shipwrecked. Now, what would most of us think? You know, obviously, God's closing the door. Obviously, he's closing the door, right? He must not want me to go, all right? But God wanted Paul. Satan was doing everything he could to stop it, everything he could. So he shipwrecked at Malta, and finally, after 3 months, he sails on up to Puteoli. These people come down and greet him, and Paul takes heart. All right, see how it goes? He's like, wow, 2.5 years of me thinking this is, I'm on the wrong path, of Satan trying to prohibit me from doing this. And these people come and greet me. He goes into the heart of the pagan, of the Gentile world at that time. And preaches the gospel for two years freely with no problem. Now imagine if you went to, you know, to Saudi Arabia today. You think you'd get to preach freely to anybody you wanted to about Jesus? No. All right? Is it possible that could happen? Yes. All right? And that was the context Paul was in. God opened the door to allow him to freely talk about the kingdom of God, the path of the gospel. Let's see what the next slide says. All right, back up. God's on a mission, right? Noah, preacher of righteousness. Abraham, go and be a blessing. David, you know, Israel, people are going to look at you and learn about God. David says, all the families of the earth shall worship before you. There they are. Thanks. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, the apostles, Paul, Creekside Bible Church. All right. God, the path of missions. God is on a mission. Noah, how long ago was Noah? Noah was maybe 5,000 years ago. And God's been working to get the gospel of salvation out to everybody, to all people in all places. You are connected to Noah, to Abraham, to David. This isn't just something that's, hey, we just a little part here in the east side of I-45, South Montgomery County. We are connected to a bigger picture, the path of the gospel. And in Paul's case, it was into the heart of the modern world. One question. If we were to take the gospel today into one city, one major city, Rome is a major city. If we were to choose one major city today, like the nerve center of the world, that the gospel needed to penetrate into that city, what city would it be? Tokyo? London? Houston? Not Houston. New York? Okay. Istanbul? Beijing? Dubai? Which one would it be? I mean, really, when we think about it, where is the gospel? Where does it need to go? If we're going to reach those 1.75 million, you know, most of those 1.75 billion people are in India or Southeast Asia. So maybe, you know, it's a city over there. Maybe it's one of the cities in India that there's some Pauls getting to that city. The path of the gospel. And that's what to me, it's just cool. It's just cool to see this path that God has gotten. He's on a mission that will not fail. Now let's talk about the proclamation real quick. All right, this is one slide again. I'll go backwards then. Okay, from morning to evening, Paul expounded to them. He testified to the kingdom of God, trying to convince them about Jesus. And he lived there 2 whole years, his own expense, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way Acts ends. Paul proclaiming about the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think this is important for us to understand, to think about. We're out of time. We need to think about this just a little bit. Now let's look at the next slide. No, back up. Okay, I forgot it. Okay, I'm sorry. It's not up there. The kingdom of God. What is this? He's proclaiming about the kingdom of God. God exists. All right? There's one true living God. He made heaven and earth. All right? He's sovereign. He's eternal and he's sovereign. And this true living God desires to bless his creation. All right? He wants to do good for his creation. It flows out of who he is. And he's also righteous. And so he teaches us how to enjoy the blessings of his creation. All right? So we have a living God who is good, he wants to bless his creation, but he didn't leave us without some instructions. All right? All right? He did not leave us without, this is the way for you to experience the goodness of my creation. But mankind has walked away from God's goodness, right? And his righteousness. And we seek our own good to the harm of others. That's not the way God operates, but that's the way man operates in general, okay? We seek our good to the harm of others. We don't follow God's plan for goodness. We create our own plan for goodness, and typically it involves harming others. All right? We call that sin. All right? But God, he graciously recalls us to repent, to return to him for salvation, right? Why? Because there is a day of judgment coming. There will be a day when God's going to make things right. He's going to judge the world through Jesus Christ. So we need to repent and believe in Jesus. Jesus is our requirement. So you have God. He's good. We've rejected God. All right? He calls us to repent because there will be a day of judgment. And our requirement is to believe in Jesus Christ. And I think this is the message. When you look at Paul on his journey, that's what he talked about. The living God who wants to do good for all creation. And so this message of salvation in Jesus Christ is coming to you. All right? It's coming to all peoples in all places. You know, Paul also taught, it said he taught about the kingdom of God and what else? Jesus Christ. All right? You can't talk about the kingdom of God without talking about Jesus. And a lot of people will believe a lot of what I just said. God's good. God's creator. God's good. Man sinned. Judgment's coming. Now, Islam believes that. All right? But Jesus, nah, we're not going to talk about Jesus. Jesus is not part of the picture. He's a cool guy. All right? He's one of God's prophets. But we got a greater prophet in Muhammad, and there's, you know, this faith in Jesus is crazy. All right? We believe in God. We believe he's good. We believe in sin. We believe that there's going to be a judgment. But Jesus, we got to throw him out. All right, we don't throw him out, but don't be talking about Jesus. We talk about Muhammad. You cannot talk about the kingdom of God without talking about Jesus. He is essential. So it's important to us that we learn, and we're out of time. It's important to us that we learn how to talk about Jesus. That we learn who he is. We learn he's essential, because you're going to run into people that say, you know what? Jesus was a good guy, but he's not the only way to heaven. He's not. I think he is, but they're going to say, no, nah, there's lots of ways to heaven. Mostly in America. You go out here and around Creekside, this area right here, most people are probably going to say, you know, you Christians, you're so intolerant. You all believe there's only one way to heaven. Yeah, we believe in God. He's a good God. But this idea that you must believe in Jesus, forget it. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. All right? How do we answer that? Dean's going to explain that next week. Okay? No, not to put you on the spot. Or maybe the week after that. You've been learning that in John, right? To have a relationship with God, you must believe in Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, if you've rejected me, you've rejected the Father. You can't reject me and have a relationship with God, the Father. He is essential. And we are the messengers of life in Jesus Christ. So, time's up. What's Creekside going to... I got no closing. Glenn likes it when I say I've got no closing. It's over. Okay. No, what's... I do have a closing. I do have a closing. What's the message for you guys? What's Creekside going to do? What city are you guys going to choose? You elders. What city? What's your role? That's something to think about. Maybe it's Tbilisi. God's given you a foothold in Tbilisi through Gia. Maybe it's Tbilisi. You know, in Iran, there's how many? Iran's got about 20. Now, let me take this. I don't know how many people Iran has. Azerbaijan, Azeri Muslims, 7 million. There's 25 million Azeri Muslims in the world. Okay? 7 million of them live in Azerbaijan. All right? Where do the other 18 million live? Do you know? Iran. All right? So northern Iran, 17 million Azeri Muslims. All right, 7 million in Azerbaijan. There's about a half a million of them in Georgia, in Tbilisi. Now, if you wanted to reach Iran, who would have thought we'd go to Tbilisi and we work with Azeri Muslims in Tbilisi? And then they take the gospel on into their people. I'm sure the Azeri Muslims are an unreached people group. They may be a frontier people group. Somebody needs to take the gospel to them. And once the gospel's planted in that people group, then they can begin to take the gospel into places that we can never get into. So you guys have a significant part to play in advancement of the gospel. All right? So embrace it. All right? Let me pray. And then, Joey, you got another song? Okay. Lord God, thanks that you are at work. Thank that your mission will never fail. Thanks that you protected Paul for 2.5 years. Lord, that he was able to plant the gospel in Rome and in places outside of Rome and into Europe. And that we enjoy the benefit today of what he did. Help us, Lord, to do what you would have us to do. Give us a vision, Father. Give us a heart for what you're doing. And show us how we can partner, even in a small way. Thanks for the encouragement that we get from the way that you encouraged Paul. Thanks for sharing that with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.